Hashtag Stop Galamse Now. Hello, good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM and Hits 103.9 FM here in Accra, on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi and streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, X Spaces and YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations including Victory 96.1 FM Aflao, KTU Radio in Koforidua, Radio Justice 98.5 FM Tamale, ATL 100.5 Cape Coast and Sky 96.7 Sunyan. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams. Coming up, NPP minority in Parliament demands dismissal of Energy Minister John Jinapor over alleged negligence in the Akosombo substation fire and widespread power outages in many parts of the country.
If any official is to face scrutiny, let that same scrutiny fall on the Energy Minister and on this president.
Details as the minority cites government's neglect of the energy sector recovery plan as reason for the current power crisis.
It is a product of 14 months of policy failure, institutional neglects, and the deliberate abandonment of the energy sector recovery framework that the Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo and Dr. Mahmood Bawumia administration put in place to prevent exactly this kind of collapse.
Meanwhile, a forensic research by Joy News shows Ghana's power supply has been wallowing in deficit as far back as March 2026, with generation shortfalls reaching almost 30% just 24 hours before the Akosombo substation fire. We have exclusive details plus analysis for you also coming up. This afternoon, Ghanaians in South Africa's capital Pretoria confined to their homes as protests erupt over immigration concerns. Anti-migrant demonstrators, some wielding sticks and placards with inscriptions, "March and march until we win," deny being xenophobic despite recent attacks that left two Nigerians dead.
Other people from outside of South Africa to label us as xenophobic. You know, people who are not even in South Africa, who don't even know what we're going through, they don't want to listen to what we're complaining about.
Ghana's High Commission in South Africa has urged Ghanaians to shut their shops and avoid areas where they could be targeted. We are live in South Africa this afternoon. Later in sports,
Ghana's Black Starlets stumble against Ivory Coast in first international friendly ahead of the under 17 AFCON.
Then in our light story on the Midday News, Tadi faces off with Somenya in Joy Prime's Beats and Bars inter-community rap battle, with little to choose between Takoradi Semesha and Somenya's. These and more with me, Gemma Apia. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible journalism. The details now. The minority in Parliament is this afternoon calling for the head of Energy Minister John Jinapor over alleged negligence resulting in the recent power crisis. The minority's call is in reaction to the minister's announced suspension of the Gridco boss, Engineer Mark Iwiaba, and a reshuffle in the ECG Ashanti regional leadership. Addressing the media at a press conference in Parliament a while ago, Deputy Ranking Member on the Energy Committee, Collins Adomakomensa, first insisted the recent crisis precedes the fire at Akosombo last Thursday.
I must state plainly and without qualification, Ghana's power crisis, the doom that millions of Ghanaians have been enduring since January 2025, was not caused by any accident at Akosombo. It was caused by this government. The events of 23rd April are the latest and most dramatic symptom of a power sector left to decay under the NDC's incompetent stewardship. The Mahama government must not be permitted to use this incident as a convenient alibi for a crisis that predates it by more than a year. And the NPP minority will not allow that cynical rewriting of history to pass unchallenged. Let us be unequivocal about the timeline. Long before the event of 23rd April 2026, Ghanaians across every region of this country had been enduring persistent, unannounced, and devastating power outages. ECG had been issuing relentless emergency and maintenance schedules throughout April 2026. The ECG Director General had already issued public apologies for chronic power fluctuations, causing damage to household equipment and crippling small businesses. Communities were living in darkness, not for hours, but for days. Industries were hemorrhaging losses. Cold stores were warming. Hospitals were straining on generators. That was the reality of Ghana's power sector before any incident at Akosombo.
Let's go to the phone line and speak to my colleague James Averji, who was at that press conference for us. James, if not the Akosombo fire, what reason did the minority give for the challenge?
Gemma, the minority said before they exited power, the IMF had projected that there would be the energy sector debt could increase, and so they demanded that government come out with a plan, which they came out with the energy sector recovery plan. That plan, according to them, has not been implemented by government, leading to the situation we find ourselves in.
It is a product of 14 months of policy failure, institutional neglects, and the deliberate abandonment of the energy sector recovery framework that the Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo and Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia administration put in place to prevent exactly this kind of collapse. The government of President Akufo-Addo and Vice President Bawumia did not leave behind a broken sector without solutions. They left behind the Energy Sector Recovery Program, which we call the ESRP, a comprehensive, internationally agreed framework designed to address the financial and operational vulnerabilities of Ghana's electricity sector. The ESRP had been negotiated with the IMF as a structural benchmark under Ghana's extended credit facility. It had specific timelines, specific targets, and specific commitments. It was not a wish list. It was a working plan, agreed with international partners, and designed to be implemented with urgency. What did the Mahama government do with this inheritance? It delayed, it diluted, it rebadged the crisis as a maintenance program. It renamed DUMSO as upgrades, and it presided month after month over the financial strangulation of the very infrastructure upon which millions of Ghanaians depend.
James, what's their demand now? Hello, James. Well, unfortunately, we've lost James, but we can listen to Collins make that demand.
Even with the fire outbreak at Akosombo, the government has a responsibility to protect our national energy infrastructure backbone, the transmission network. However, lack of maintenance and safety protocols must be blamed on the government. We do not oppose investigation. Any inquiry into events at critical national infrastructure must be thorough and transparent. If negligence, dereliction of duty, or any other culpable conduct is found, those responsible must face the full force of the law. But investigation must precede conclusion, and the suspension of officials must not serve as a press release substitute for a genuine reckoning with the policy failures that has brought Ghana's energy sector to its knees. If any official is to face scrutiny, let that same scrutiny fall on the energy minister and on this president. For it is their ministry, their policy choices, and their disdain for the ESRP that created the conditions under which critical national infrastructure has been allowed to deteriorate. The GRIDCO CEO did not delay the ESRP. The ECG Ashanti management did not accumulate or refuse to clear the IPP payment backlog. The government did.
On PM Express last night, Deputy Minister for Energy Richard Jan Mensah urged Ghanaians to brace up for up to a year of outages as government moves in to replace over 2,540 transformers across the country.
The president announced that we are trying to infuse about 2,500 or more transformers into the system. So those need to be replaced totally, and it's a process. It's a phase. The first phase is critically to look at those that need to be immediately be replaced. Some are damaged. Damaged transformers have to quickly be replaced. That's the first phase, and we'll be doing it within the next 3 months. Within 3 months, we need to fix all damaged transformers. Today, NEDCO reports that they have installed, within the last 1 week, they've installed almost about over 140 transformers. And then ECG, also over the last 1 week, also reports installing almost about 190 transformers.
190 transformers.
Yes.
At the time, in 2024, I remember the ECG had diagnosed 1,800 transformers across the country that were faulty, that needed to be replaced, and some purchases were made, which is what you say you are continuing. Now you're talking about what, 2,500?
That is what we intend, over 2,500. And that is not for ECG.
Only for both ECG, and NEDCO.
And then NEDCO.
And you're going to replace this. Okay, so the ones that have broken down completely, you want to do it in 3 months?
Yes, we want to do it in 3 months.
So 3 months ending when exactly? When does the 3 months start?
So when they started the SSI, I think it was started in April.
Okay.
End of April, we started this intensive where the ministry itself was involved.
Okay.
Mind you, the ECG itself...
So in June, so you want to finish that phase?
Yes, by
June. And that phase covers which type of transformer? Those ones that are completely broken?
Broken down transformers.
Okay. He says the entire 2,500 replacement should be completed in a year.
So it is in phases. That we have the first 3 months, the next 3 months, and then the rest that will be done within a year.
Okay, so you are talking. So this will end next year.
So we are we're looking at basically by the end of this year, we should be able to cover a lot more of the.
But you complete this entire nationwide upgrade and replacement of transformers by
in a period of 1 year.
Within 1 year.
Yes.
So we should expect Doomsor to continue for 1 year.
Obviously, you see when the transformer goes down, there are a lot of tech engineering works that are done. You can move a power from one transformer to the other. We want to make sure that we have a very robust system that will be able to contain any pressure that comes in.
So the first relief point is end of this week. That's the first relief point,
yes,
with the 1,000 coming. And then the second relief point is next 3 months, April, May, June. So end of June.
Yes, we should see significant improvement.
End of June. By end of June, because that's your first phase transformer project.
By then we should see significant improvement.
In that. And then... the next phase, another 3 months?
3 months.
But fully where you see
by the end of the year,
a full restoration
exactly.
Will be end of year.
Yes.
End of year. Okay.
You heard the Deputy Minister for Energy, Richard Jan Mensah. This afternoon, a Joy News forensic research has revealed Ghana's power supply has been in deficit since March 2026, with generation shortfalls reaching more than 1,000 megawatts just a day before the Akosombo substation fire outbreak, which led to the truncation of about 900 megawatts of power, leading to a national load shedding. Maxwell Aklobotu of the Joy Research Desk has got the exclusive details and joins me in studio with that. Maxwell, how dire was the situation since March 2026?
Okay, so Gemma, when you look at Ghana's power supply outlook from as of March 1, 2026, available power was 3,055 megawatts and dependable power was 4,855.8 megawatts, while peak demand as of March 1, 2026 was 4,300 megawatts. And when you look at the deficit, Gemma, we are looking at a deficit of negative 1,245, and this is as of March 1, 2026. Now let's look at as of April 1, 2026, Gemma. Available power was 3,095, whilst dependable was 4,855.8, and then peak demand as of April 1, 2026 was 4,300 with deficit of negative 1,760.8. And just a day before the fire, Gemma, we are looking at available power of 3,141 megawatts, while dependable was 4,855.8 megawatts. We are having a peak demand just a day before the fire of 4,300, whilst a deficit of negative 1,159, Gemma.
Thank you very much, Maxwell Aklobotu. This afternoon, Ghanaians in South Africa's capital, Pretoria, remain indoors, unable to move freely as locals take to the streets in protest over immigration issues. The demonstrations, which are gaining momentum, are being driven by claims from some South African residents that foreign nationals are taking over their jobs and at the expense of locals.
Look, I think South Africans who want to be part of the movement, who understand the pain that we're going through, are actually joining. They're making their voices heard. I mean, we're coming under attack from all across Africa for standing up for ourselves. And the quickest thing that they do, these other people from outside of South Africa, is to label us as xenophobic. You know, people who are not even in South Africa, who don't even know what we're going through, they don't want to listen to what we're complaining about. I mean, we've lived with people from outside of Africa, South Africa actually, for 32 years, in millions and millions of them. But if you walk right down the road, you'll find that they now are taking over buildings. There's prostitution, there's drugs, there's cartels, there's mafias, everything in the
Amid the growing unrest, Ghana's High Commission has moved swiftly, issuing a strongly worded advisory aimed at safeguarding Ghanaian nationals. Before we cross over to South Africa to engage Ghana's High Commissioner for updates, my colleague Fatal Bayaga joins me in studio with more. Fatal, what exactly is the High Commission saying?
Gemma, so the High Commission urges Ghanaians in that country to continue exercising heightened vigilance and to place the highest priority on personal safety during this period, particularly in Pretoria today, where the march organization is planning demonstrations to the presidency to present its grievances on immigration matters. All members of our community are advised to take precautionary measures. The statement continues to say that shop owners are strongly encouraged to close their businesses for the day and avoid areas where protests or demonstrations are taking place. It concludes by encouraging Ghanaians to refrain from participating in public gatherings that could escalate into confrontation, Gemma.
Thank you very much, Fatal Bayaga. Let's now cross over to South Africa and speak with Ghana's High Commissioner, Benjamin Anani Kwashi. Welcome to the Midday News. Mr. Kwashi, how would you describe the current situation for Ghanaians living in South Africa, especially in areas where these protests are ongoing? Hello, Mr. Kwashi, can you hear me? We are still working the phone lines to connect to Mr. Kwashi. I learned he's on the line. Mr. Kwashi, can you hear me? Kindly unmute for us.
Yes, I can hear you. Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to your cherished listener.
How would you describe the current security situation in South Africa?
Well, I think with the advisory notes that we gave, I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, like I indicated, there's an advisory note we gave out today to all Ghanaians that are living in South Africa, especially to do with those in Pretoria and its environs. We heard there was going to be a demonstration. Indeed, the demonstration is ongoing. We've asked our members not to come open their shops, just to allow them to do what they have to do. Fortunately for us, we have a higher number of police presence. Law and order is being ensured. And as of now, no single Ghanaian citizen has complained of their shop being ransacked or they facing any challenges. We believe that they've adhered to what we indicated in the advisory notes, and we continue to urge them to be at home until we advise them otherwise.
What are about the police in South Africa? Are they protecting Ghanaians there?
Because the police are protecting property and lives. Because the Ghanaians have not opened their shops, obviously police are ensuring that their shops are well protected, and also to ensure that the demonstrations, as we indicated, they said they were going to present a petition to the presidency. So we expect them to use the route that police have approved for them, so that they do not provoke any of our citizenry. I'm sure that we've largely established that, and I'm happy that no casualty has been reported as we speak as of now.
Is this advisory you issue just for today?
Well, we continue to monitor the situation across the whole country. As I speak now, we are in another province called East London. There were some challenges that we Ghanaians were facing that we had to come here to come and resolve. So it is place specific. Anytime we realize that we need to issue the advice based on information we have from government sources, from mayors, from municipal executives, once they inform us, we inform Ghanaians to stay out so that they don't have any provocation with their demonstrators.
What challenge did you have in East London?
Well, it's to do with the Ghanaian issue, but it's been resolved. It's an ongoing situation. It has nothing to do with xenophobic. It has to do with consular services that we are handling. The minister specifically asked us to go handle it, and we are handling it with the law enforcement agencies there.
Thank you very much, Ghana's High Commissioner to South Africa, Benjamin Anane Kwoshi. Let's take a break now. We'll be back with more stories.
When I wake up in the morning, I brush my teeth with Kel Chaco toothpaste. This gives me confidence all day.
Anytime you meet Ama, don't be surprised I smile showing my beautiful white teeth, because I don't have cavity thanks to Kel Chaco toothpaste for its natural charcoal properties. In fact, we are like twins. I can't go without my Kel Chaco toothpaste.
That be why I use Kel Chaco toothpaste morning and night when I go bed safe. It make my teeth white where it commot every scent from my mouth inside. My confidence level they go up, so I they show my 32 teeth all.
Introducing the Kel Charcoal Toothpaste, formulated with activated bamboo charcoal powder, ensures whiter teeth and removes bad breath. The strong natural property of the activated bamboo charcoal removes bacteria, absorbs surface stains on our teeth caused by coffee, wines, and tobacco. Welcome, Kel Charcoal Toothpaste. Kel Charcoal Toothpaste. Sankofa Yenchi.
Kel, happy smile.
This advert is FDA approved.
Welcome back to the Midday News. It's now time for sports. Mubarak is here.
Thank you very much, Gemma. The Black Starlets suffered a 2-0 defeat to Ivory Coast in an international friendly at the Alassane Ouattara Stadium. Ghana were left to lament missed chances as Isaac Bafo and Mark Abuaji both came close to scoring but failed to make them count. Both teams will meet again on Thursday as preparations continue for the Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations in May. The tournament serves as a qualifier for the Under-17 World Cup. Remember, Ghana is in Group D alongside Algeria, Senegal, and South Africa. Before I go, we've got a big game tonight in the Champions League. PSG, they will take on Bayern Munich at 7 p.m. You can join the Joy Sports team for the Hits FM Rep Your Jersey for the game at Electroland Head Office near Paloma Hotel.
Rep your jersey.
Yep.
Oh, which jersey are you repping?
Manchester United.
Well, Minister for Labour, Jobs and Employment Abdul Rashid Hassan Pelpio made this known at an event to mark the 2026 World Day for Safety and Health at Work in Accra. He says government will strengthen enforcement of occupational safety standards with a renewed focus on mental health in workplaces.
The government of Ghana, we see the welfare of workers as very fundamental. We notice that a healthy worker is a healthy nation. And once the worker is properly taken care of, respected, and properly conditioned, productivity will increase. But it's important to also look at the areas of life that affect directly the welfare of workers. But beyond that are the psychological, the social effects on them. And these are critical elements in dealing with the workforce of Ghana. People are treated badly, disrespected at work, mishandled at work, insulted at work. All these have a direct consequence on the worker in Ghana. In order to have a safe organization taking care of the occupational safety of workers, we need to look at both the physical aspect of it and the psychological aspect, which are both critical in dealing with a worker we want to see producing the best for our country. This must be employers, governments or states and the private sector must all work towards achieving the maximum in taking care of workers, and so must be handled with the kind of respect that will enable him to function well. So employers are very critical in this respect.
For many rural households, especially in the northern region, farmlands are more than livelihoods. They carry heritage and identity. But changing climate conditions are disrupting this, pushing families to seek opportunities in cities like Accra and Kumasi. Yet migration has not erased culture. From food to language and tradition, what is emerging is not lost, but reinvented.
For many rural households, their farmlands are more than livelihoods. They reflect kinship and ancestry, a pathway for history and heritage to be passed down. Yet, uncertain climate regimes have caused a deep lingering disturbance to this rhythm, thereby pushing families to search for opportunities beyond their farms. What has emerged is not lost, but a reshaping cultural reintervention. A smock attire matched with jeans, a child scolded in Dagati, yet responding in English or another local language different from their mother tongue. Children grow up fluent in both. What emerges is not erasure, but cultural hybridity.
Burkina is one of my favorite meals, just as other tribes enjoy native dishes from my tribe. I also appreciate the traditional foods of other cultures.
The way we prepare akple in our tribe differs from how it's made here. Fortunately, there are people from our tribe in Accra who sell akple.
Lead for Strategic Initiatives for African Governance, SAGE, Dr. Shelter Gaches, says that migration has existed since the dawn of time, but in recent times, migration is heavily influenced by climate change.
People are compelled to move down south to look for a better chance at livelihood. Some have argued that this movement sometimes causes a loss to their cultural identity, and in some instances, it causes a disruption in the culture of the host communities they settle in. However, it is time we tend to look at it from a positive light. When this migrant moves to these host communities, they do transfer their culture.
She added that since the positives are not highlighted enough, people only push the negative narrative as influx on social amenities in the host communities.
Push for the negative narrative that climate migration or migration in itself causes a disruption to our cultural identity. I will push for the fact that first of all, migration should be recognized as an adaptation strategy. When this is done, it serves to streamline certain things we can put in place to help this migrant keep their cultural roots in check. But we can also provide funding, community spaces for migrant-led groups.
This story is brought to you by Joy News in partnership with CDK and Ghana, University of Ghana Center for Climate Change and Sustainability Studies, with funding from Claire R4I Opportunities Fund.
And in our light story this afternoon, it was Takra Day against Sominga in a beats and bar showdown as Semenya representing Tadi faced off with Kwole Black from Sominga in a lyrical battle that kept the crowd on edge. Both rappers delivered strong performances, leaving judges unable to separate them after a closely contested contest. Listen to the Brack stage where the two went head to head in the inter-community rap battle.
Let's call it Black. Are you ready?
Call it Black. Yeah,
all right, listen, yo. Watching you from head to toe, Michelle, I wouldn't need to. Where self make a start, your head or your toe? Make a break your heart or make a kill your soul. Muhammad Ali punches, I will crash your bones. We drop him, rem. Lato Jim boy, underground, rap sign your peace, Lato Jim soil. This is not for kids, not your kind of game, boy. You against Black, no be fair. Not so mini choice. And our sister Zandi,
that's Kasahari there. These and bars on Joy Prime. Let's find out what's trending on social media. Jackie is here.
Yes, Gemma. So, ECG has been trending since Saturday, and I'm sure you know the reason why, but a lot of netizens on social media has been